Welcome to the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Josiah Smelser. The Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast is the shared journey of building a real estate investment property business from square one. Join me as we learn together how to conquer the real estate game to reach financial freedom. Together, we will learn from people in all areas of real estate and business in our personal trek towards escaping the rat race. Be you. Do the work you love. Play the long game. Before we get started, I wanted to ask that you check out my book, Dream It and Build It, How to Crush Your Real Estate Investing Goals. The book was written to document my process of building my investment portfolio from square one, and I think this could really benefit you as well. The book has gotten 5-star reviews so far, which I'm really proud of. You can find the book on Amazon in either physical or Kindle format, as well as any other book retailer. Check it out. What's up, guys? It's Josiah with the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. Today, I've got Rob Bennett and Jarrett Thomas, two partners that are building a vacation rental business, built some really robust profit and passive income from this portfolio they've built. They own 50 bedrooms, and these are located in 7 different houses in Charleston, South Carolina. You can follow them at The Inns on Instagram. And if you've got interest in vacation rentals and what's possible through vacation rentals, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. FYI, Rob was a former pro golfer. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Really cool. Haven't had a pro golfer on the show yet. So these are a couple cool guys. And this is going to be an informative episode. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hey, I'm excited to have Rob Bennett and Jarrett Thomas on the podcast today. These guys are doing some really cool stuff, have made a lot of momentum with revving up the income side of their real estate business. They've got some cool stuff going on with some vacation rentals they're working with now, and I'm excited to dive into their story. Jarrett, let's start with you. Tell us, you know, what you do for a living and how you got into this whole real estate game.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Happy to have you.
Before the real estate business began, the genesis of my career was in wealth management, still is by day a financial advisor. But one of my very first prospecting meetings, I was pounding the phones in the very beginning. I met a wealthy prospect who was a close family friend that was trying to get his business. And I asked him, I said, what would be your best advice to a new financial advisor who's looking to build a business, but also create financial freedom? And he said, passive income. He said, residential real estate for two reasons, low capital requirement upfront and a longer AM schedule, which basically just means your payments are a little smaller over the life of the loan. He said, once your passive income one day eclipses your active income, you'll have the ability to make a decision if what you're actively doing for your career is what you really want to be doing. In his case, he was a small town architect making at the time. He was in his 50s or early 60s, making about $20,000 a month. And I asked him, I said, what does your passive income look like? And he told me it was about $55,000 to $60,000 a month. And that years and years prior, he had that equilibrium moment where his passive income eclipsed his active income. And he knew then that he really still wanted to be an architect. He said to me, he said, when that moment happened, though, he had the decision. He could have been a watercolor artist. He could have been a stand-up comedian. He could have just gone fly fishing for the rest of his life. But it gave him the control to know that what he was doing was truly what he wanted to do. And he felt pretty blessed. So at that moment, I kind of realized not only did I need to build my active to a substantial amount, but I also need to start building my passive income through long-term residential real estate. So I started buying real estate about 12, 13 years ago, small at first. And then, as we'll talk about later in the call with Rob, it's gotten a little bigger down the road. And we've done some more exotic type deals. But that was the genesis of when I really had that. It was when I was starting to build the wealth management business, but also kind of told me the story of what I needed to look out for down the road to create that financial freedom, which is sort of, I know what your handle and your messages as well. So have a good on the call. And I also apologize. I think I'm getting over a little virus. I don't know if it's corona, but it's a little hard to speak. So that's why I'm breaking up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, man. I actually think I'm pretty sure I had corona in March, and I walked up the stairs and would get so winded I could barely catch my breath. So I hope you're trending in the right direction and get well soon.
Well, I just hope your viewers and subscribers really appreciate the struggle I'm forthcoming with right now to get this message to them. I climbed Everest for them right now, so I hope they're all very thankful.
That's awesome, man. Well, I love what turned you on to this, because there is that light bulb moment where you're like, wait a minute, you have how much in passive income? You know, and that was the same moment for me where I was like, I don't really like my 9-to-5. You may love your 9-to-5 right now. I started off working in public accounting. I was working 95 hours a week, high stress, really unhealthy, like sitting in a cubicle, getting no exercise, and just, you know, I don't know. I just felt like it was a recipe for disaster, and also didn't enjoy the work. And I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. So wanted to get into real estate. Then I started talking to different real estate investors, and some investors created a job for themselves, which was they traded one job for another. And then other investors had really focused on building up the passive income portion of this. And that to me is where the magic is, right? Figuring out how to increase that passive income to a point that you don't need your 9-to-5 anymore. And that's true financial freedom. And I like using the word time freedom, because that, or the phrase, because that's synonymous with financial freedom to me. When you have free time to do whatever it is you want, like you said, whether it's fly fishing or doing engineering or being an architect or financial planning or whatever it is that you enjoy, like, you're financially free. So, vacation rentals, oddly enough, are the way that a lot of people have done this, which is really interesting nuance to this. It's just one option. There's other options. Every option's got upsides and downsides. We're going to dive into that with the vacation rentals. And we've had some other guests in the past that were doing vacation rentals and had done really well. And I'm always intrigued by this because I have interest in vacation rentals myself. But, Jarrett, where are you located currently?
I go back and forth between Charleston, South Carolina, where the majority of the real estate holdings are now, and Washington, D.C., where the wealth management business is domiciled.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Rob, let's dive into your story. Now, Rob is not somebody you want to just pick up a on-the-fly golf game with and put some money down, because he used to be a professional golfer, so he will take your money.
I gladly will. You're right, Josiah.
So, Rob, man, tell us how you got into the whole real estate idea, and also give us some background on your professional golfing experience.
Yeah, Josiah, thanks for having us today. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Excited message. To have you. And,
but yeah, I dedicated the first 20, 24 years of my life to golf. I played at the University of Georgia, was on a really stacked team. A lot of my teammates are now on the PGA Tour, and I'm more than happy for them. I was the fifth or sixth guy. I played some, but not all the time. And when I got out, I wanted to play pro. It was my dream. So I turned pro. I played in the mini tours, kind of like AAA, the equivalent of AAA in baseball. Bounced around those for 4 years. And like I told you, I just came to the point where I was tired of being broke, man. I had that moment. I've told Jared this story and some of my close friends. There was a day where I didn't have enough money to get a damn haircut. And that was the day I just decided I'm done doing this. So I changed everything in my life. I moved from Augusta, Georgia down to Charleston, South Carolina. And oddly enough, got paired up in a round of golf with Jared. And I think it was the first fairway. He said to me, man, I always thought vacation rentals would just kill it here in Charleston. People just love coming down here. And at the time, I was so desperate for money. I was actually renting apartments and then re-renting them on Airbnb, and couldn't believe how much money people were paying and just how I hate to say this, but easy it seemed compared to a 9-to-5 or a full-time job. So I told him, man, I agree with you. I'm sort of doing that already. I just don't have enough money to start buying. And he had obviously had and has a very successful financial advising career. And then he was able to start buying. And I sort of ran the property management at first. And here we are today at, you know, 50 plus bedrooms and the Inns brand, which has been built over the years. And it's just been one hell of a ride. And I'm thankful for it.
That's awesome. So how long did it take to build this 50 door portfolio?
So we started in 15.
Started buying 16. We didn't build the brand until early 17. So like we started buying the real estate in end of 16. And so we're about year 4. And we sleep about 100 to 150 people a night. It's pretty neat.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So how many, like, you hear 50 bedrooms, how many houses or buildings are these in, and how's this kind of set up?
Yeah. So we have 7 houses in one neighborhood, and Josiah, this is the odd thing about Charleston. There's one area that they've termed the short-term overlay, and it's 2 streets. So that's the only corridor in Charleston where you can actually legally Airbnb properties. So they're all within about a mile of each other. So every house is have different unit mixes and sizes, multifamily. There's, for instance, the house we're in right now is a 10 bedroom with 4 different units. So yeah, it's a mixed bag, but we have created kind of a cohesive model, and they all look the same and have the same character. So the guests feel like they're getting a consistent experience.
Very interesting. So the average house is how big, would you say? How many square feet?
I mean, the total, like it's a historical duplex, triplex, quadplex. I don't even know if pentaplex is the right word.
Yeah.
I haven't brushed up on my English, but like we have a 16 bedroom multifamily all the way down to as small as a 1 bedroom cottage, all walkable within each other with a headquarters where people can come and arrive and drop bags, etc. So the golf carts buzzing around. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's the Villages north of Orlando, because it's not like that. I'm not knocking the Villages either, but it's in a similar kind of concept, is just be like a little neighborhood nook that sleeps about 50 or about 100 to 150 a night, spread out amongst, I don't know, was it 7 to 8, like just historic duplex through pentaplex.
Yeah.
And we're looking, looking to expand from there. The goal was to get to be 100 bedrooms spread out amongst, 40 to 60 keys, able to sleep, large wedding parties. Again, this is pre-pandemic. I'm not sure how many big wedding parties are traveling around right now, but that was the goal. And we're hopeful that, as time goes on and a vaccine emerges, we can get back to that target. And then from there, spread to other cool cities like Nashville, Austin, places in SoCal, and move the brand westward.
Very cool. So the question that probably most everyone wants to know is how much profit a year are you guys kicking off on this 50-door deal right now, or this 50-bedroom deal?
That's a question that is, it's a good one. I think that our pro forma going into 2020 is going to be substantially off, like most hospitality portfolios, whether hotels or Airbnb or the Sonder models out there. It's almost impossible to know what this year will yield, but last year, we run about a 50%, NOI based off gross. So for example, let's say we targeted $2 million for the year. I guess our target for this year was about $1 million NOI, or $1 million net income before debt service.
Gotcha. And then so after debt service, what do you think you're profiting net of debt service on 50 bedrooms?
Every property is a little different. The debt structure is different. For example, we have some interest onlys, we have some 30-year AM schedules. So based off of the makeup right now, the target would have been a little bit over $500,000.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's $500,000 profit after debt service. That's considerable. Now have you purchased these just the two of you, or have you gone into these with partners?
You know, as I think we kind of talked about earlier, I think initially it was just us individually, and then what we've been able to do is create synergies with other people in town who have properties, et cetera, other partners, strategic partnerships as well. So the portfolio itself is comprised amongst us and others as well, various types of ownerships, LLCs, partnership agreements. But I guess it's I don't even know if there's enough time on this call to really get out the financial microscope and really get too granular on it, but it's a fairly sophisticated layering to get it to where it is now and still stay within the lines of the law, you know?
Yeah, sure. So how are you managing these properties? What's the typical tenant? Are they renting these for three nights at a time? And has COVID significantly affected the occupancy of these properties, or how, give us some details on that side of it?
Yeah. The most common booking is going to be Thursday to Sunday or Friday to Monday, three night minimum on the weekends predominantly. That's when you get the bachelorette parties, the bachelor parties, the wedding. And then as far as COVID, yeah, you know, March and April, we took a pretty big hit like most other hospitality businesses. And it was scary there for a minute. But luckily, you know, May and June really popped and we saw a large uptick. So we're hoping this thing subsides a little bit and we continue to do what we projected for 2020.
Very cool. So are you financing these on like 30-year fixed conventional loans, or how do you go about financing a property like this?
Yeah, every property's been different. To Jared's point, we've done some seller financing, we've done some 30-year, we've done some commercial. It really just depends on the property type and our goal of the property and the numbers. So we've done a little bit of everything, honestly.
Yeah, like just to give you an example, and without getting too granular, like it's really just kind of, I mean, not to use a golf analogy, but when I watch Rob play golf, sometimes I'll think he's, you know, he's looking at a shot that's impossible, and he'll hit the shot, like, you know, it doesn't even look like it could be done. And maybe it's, I guess how it cross references to real estate would just be, sometimes you see a piece of property that you just, you know, you go knock on the door, there's a sign out front, you find a distressed seller, you throw out a lowball offer and say, you're going to finance the entire thing for us for 5-year interest only. You lock them in and then you drop the price by 25% and still make them finance it for a better rate. So sometimes we try to find the most value we can in every deal. If it requires a bank, then we'll go to a bank. If we can do it without a bank with our own personal money, we will. If we find a real desperate seller, we'll be a little more creative. But the key for, you know, I think building the strongest net income or passive income is getting the best price entry with the best financing and the highest net and highest income stream. So the Airbnb model downtown Charleston with the lowest purchase price with the best financing, whether it's from the seller through, you know, private capital or a bank or some myriad of the three, that's how we really jack up our net income.
That makes sense. So you mentioned that there's a short-term overlay area of town where you can do this Airbnb model, and you own 7 homes all in that area, correct?
Correct.
How many homes are in that area total? There are a lot. I mean, is it like
question.
Hundreds or
I love to tell you, but I don't want you to come here and buy any and take
it. it's sounding like there's hardly any houses there for anyone to buy. So
stay away, Josiah.
probably 100. If you guys want people to stay away from buying stuff there, you probably shouldn't be doing the podcast.
Yeah, but we got to run, Josiah. Nice.
Hey, Rob reached out to me about this. I didn't try to get y'all to do this.
I told Rob, I said, what are we gonna gain from this call? He said, I don't know. Maybe we'll get some guests or some that. I don't know. We'll talk. But no, there's probably let's see. I don't know. What was it, about a mile each way down the two streets? So there's probably maybe 200 to 300 houses available. But I will say that the over the last 2 or 3 years, the secret's kind of broken. Now you've got hedge funds, private equity capital, large, you know, family offices that have come down and really taken down most, if not all, of the good inventory. So, I mean, we've sent out letters. We do door knocking. We have, you know, tax records. We've got sort of spies all over the neighborhood just looking for those opportunities, like, you know, just basic developer stuff. And then when we see an opportunity, we'll, you know, we'll come in through a, you know, through maybe a blind LLC or whatever and try to take it down. But it's pretty rare to find those sweet deals anymore. Hoping maybe the pandemic causes some distress selling, but we'll see.
Sure. So what I'm guessing is your company managing this, or how are you managing these?
We created a company called The Ends, and we could have outsourced the management, I guess, to a third party, but we said, like anything in life, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. So we went out and interviewed and some consultants from Hilton Marriott and kind of figured out how to make residential real estate, you know, convert residential real estate into essentially a glorified hotel. And then created a management company, The Ends, to create a brand standard. It would look and feel like each room and each space would look and feel like a high-end sort of hotel experience, but within a residential home, like a historic home. And then that company manages, which doesn't make us a profit. We don't want to charge ourselves to manage our own real estate, right? So really what its job is to do is to manage, oversee, and generate the highest possible net income for the real estate LLCs. And so it's not a not-for-profit company, but it's like an analogy to be like, you could buy a stock Mercedes-Benz and add the AMG or BMW and add the M package. The Ends is really just a performance catalyst for the real estate. But on the guest side, or the visitor side who comes to stay, it really should be something that kind of guarantees, you know, a standard level, which is best in class within the Airbnb space for Charleston. So it's a win for the guests. It's also a win for the property owner on our side too.
So how much time on a daily basis is it taking to manage the turnover, the bookings, that kind of thing?
Initially for us, it took a lot of time to get it going. And now it's fairly passive because we've built a tremendous team to run it all for us.
So how much time would you say on a daily basis it's taken now?
It's a full-time job for our staff, but for Jared and I, it's fairly passive, maybe.
Maybe less than an hour a day.
Yeah, less than an hour a day.
Yeah. So when you say your staff, who do you have? Who are you leveraging as your staff?
Got 2 or 3 full-time property management ladies. We've got housekeepers. We've got handymen. We've got contractors, things that break, preventive maintenance. I mean, if you think about a hotel, like a 50 to 100-bedroom hotel, how many people would be required to actually maintain the quality of that space? That's essentially what we created for the residential real estate.
That makes sense. Yeah, the other guest I had that was doing vacation rentals, they were saying that, you know, to take care of one home with, you know, 6 bedrooms, I think that was their example. They were saying it takes roughly 30 minutes a day on average. So I was curious how that was going to stack up to a 50 bedroom business and multiple houses.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what's the growth strategy here? How do you get to your 100 bedrooms, and what do you do after that?
Yeah, I mean, getting to 100 is, at this point, it's like Jared was saying, it's challenging because the secret's out down here in Charleston. So it probably means buying a portfolio or finding some larger deals that are distressed due to COVID. And then once we get to 100, we do want to go to different markets like Austin, Nashville, Colorado, Southern Cal. We actually just got back from California doing some some research out there, and it's nice out there, Josiah. We got to get out there ASAP.
after they let everybody out of their houses and stuff, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I think one pretty quick way to do it would be just to take the existing model that we have now, take our knowledge, and instead of doing it the way we did it, I call it horizontally amongst, let's say, the seven houses that we have. You know, I think a dream scenario would be that, you know, like I read an article this morning that 1 in 4 hotels in the U.S. is about to foreclose. And they're applying for some of the CARES Act or the HOPES Act. I can't even remember which act it is. But if we could find a hotel in one of those major target markets that's on brand, like instead of a horizontal kind of multiple house kind of setup in a neighborhood, find a vertical building, maybe like in downtown Nashville, Austin, somewhere like that, and use our track record in Charleston and our know-how, find some commercial debt, maybe some agency debt and some cash, and then take a flagship property down from a distressed hotel for, you know, 40, 50, 60 cents on the dollar, and then make that, you know, the Inns Austin, but it's vertical. It's a 50-bedroom, 100-bedroom space that we could just apply our model to it. Because I think grinding across the country with each new real estate piece of property residentially is probably, it becomes, I think you used the word freedom of time, time chips, or I forget, I'm mangling the words, but there's a certain amount of freedom that money will give you, but also the time it takes to actually build the way we're doing it now, I don't think is doable. I think we're going to start taking on some bigger deals.
Yeah, there's certainly inertia that you experience with buying one-off properties. Speaking from experience on building my 20 property portfolio, it even when we were doing multiple deals at a time, there's just a lot of inertia to each one of them. And I guess that's why most investors move up the food chain to start doing multi-unit deals like you're talking about. I think the upside in vacation rentals is the high cash flow, financial freedom aspect of the whole thing. It seems like you can speed your way along and get there quicker. Because you guys have done this in about 4 years, you got really great net profit. You're kicking off your portfolio, managing it yourself, been creative in how you put this thing together. So, my hat's off to you on your efforts and your results. I think this is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what kind of advice? Well, I mean, we were talking about this off the call, Jarrett. Has this been a grind? Has it been easy? Has it been like, what's it been based on kind of what your expectations were going into it on just putting this whole thing together?
God, that's a really good question. You know, I think that there's two types of grinds. One is like, I think you mentioned earlier, a 9-to-5. I think you said being just grinding out beans as an accountant for 8 hours a day. You were grinding, but you weren't passionate about it. There's another kind of grind where you do have the passion, and throughout this entire time, it has been a grind, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's an entrepreneurial passion, but also a grind. So it's enjoyable to get it to where it is now, to now where it's more, I talked to Rob about this a lot, but it's, I guess, the art of actively building passive. Passive doesn't just happen unless you have a large windfall and just have a good financial advisor who can just buy you some municipal bonds and call it a day. You have to actively build the passive. And luckily for me and for Rob, I think we've passionately been actively grinding to now where we can genuinely enjoy the passive. But I think if you're an entrepreneur, you never really stop the addiction. The addiction doesn't just go away. You just keep wanting to actively build passive.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe I'm not saying that right, but if you know what I'm talking about, maybe you can phrase it differently. But I would be bored out of my mind playing golf. I love Rob, but if me and him just played golf every day, it would be boring as hell. I think you got to have some purpose in actively building passive, snowballing that passive and using more passive to actively build more passive. Like, it's kind of an addiction. Hopefully it's healthy as long as you have balance. I think we do.
Yeah, Josiah, for me, it was a grind. It has been a grind, but the difference is knowing there's light at the end of the tunnel and that you're working towards something that's going to pay you for the rest of your life. And for that reason, you know, I'll do it again in a second.
Yeah. The thing I love about being active and building your passive income is that I don't know anyone who hasn't had to put in the grind, to put in the hours, to go through the stress of getting it, to get the passive thing built up. Like, it just doesn't happen overnight. And if you're looking for get rich quick, like, it's not going to happen for you. And you can get wealthy relatively quickly doing this stuff, but it's not like hitting the lottery, right? You're not just going to wake up tomorrow rich and you didn't do any work. You have to work really hard at it, but you can work smart and you can end up at a point where you're managing your portfolio of quote unquote passive income, where it's taking an hour a day, but you've put the systems in place like you guys have, where you've got, you know, the pieces in place, taking care of the assets properly. And then, you know, you've got the passive income as the result. And that's the fruit of a lot of labor to get the systems in place, working on your business, not in your business. And that will free you up to go back and play golf. Rob, you were talking about you were at the AAA of basically pro golfing, and like, you just ended up with not quite enough money to keep doing it. Well, doing this allows you to keep doing the golfing thing indefinitely, right? Like, one of my things is I hiked half the Appalachian Trail when I was in my early 20s, and we stopped 1,100 miles in because we were going to run out of money, and I didn't have passive income. I didn't have any real estate. I had quit a 9-to-5 with money saved, and I had to go back to work. It was either that or start racking up debt. I didn't want to do that. But, you know, one thing I think about is like, I got my passive income up now. I could go hike the Appalachian Trail and not really worry where the money's going to come from. So this stuff's a game changer, because the passive income can really open up doors for you with things you love to do, like playing golf, hiking, you know, whatever it is, your thing is. And then you can go do those things and spend time doing those things. You can still build this real estate business at the same time. And it's a lot of fun too, by the way. Like, people ask me, what are your hobbies? I always tell them, like, real estate's my hobby. Like, real estate's my work and my hobby. I really love real estate. I think about real estate at night, think about when I get up in the morning, think about it on the weekends. I read about it. I just get a kick out of it. That doesn't mean I don't need some time away from it from time to time, but it's a lot of fun, you know, but it's also a grind. There's also a lot of problems to be solved. So, I relate to what both of you are saying about, you know, it's not easy. You got to be active in building up the passive, but once you build it up and you put the proper systems in place, it doesn't go away overnight. So.
Yeah. And I would urge your listeners just to get started and not overthink it. I think I talked to a lot of people and they seem like they want to, you know, project income. They want to grind and go through all the numbers and check and double check it. And at the end of the day, like you and I were saying, well, as you build your multifamily portfolio, the first one's always the hardest, and it's always going to be hard, but you got to just get in the game.
Absolutely.
Especially when interest rates are 2-3%.
Exactly. Yeah.
A 25-30 year AM, and you know, it's 2-3%. It's, you know, God, it's, I don't know how you pick the right market. It's almost impossible not to cash flow anymore.
Yeah. There's so many different ways to make money in real estate. And this is what's awesome. Like, I interviewed some people this morning. They're doing rent to own. That's their jam. I don't do rent to own. Never have done it. Don't think I ever will, but that's their jam. That's what they do. They make great money at it. They're helping people get into houses that don't have good enough credit. And then they're helping them actually buy those houses later. So they're not in it just trying to take money from people. But anyway, you guys are doing really great with this vacation rental model. You've got, you know, that's what I love about real estate. There's so many different things you can do that will make you money. It's really picking something and going with it and getting good at it and figuring it out and just putting the systems in place where it's repeatable and scalable. So
totally.
Well, guys, this has been awesome. Do you have any resources for anybody who's interested in the whole vacation rental thing, with the caveat that they 100% don't need to invest where you guys are? There's no properties for sale there.
Yeah. Please follow us on Instagram at The Inns, and anybody that's traveling in Charleston would love to host y'all here.
Rob, come have a beer, go fishing with us, play some golf, talk about some real estate stuff.
That'd be awesome. Man, the fishing sounds amazing. The golf, not so much. Y'all would not want me to be with you on the golf course.
Well, when I take Rob golfing, he's my partner, it's pretty much passive income for me. And it's like very low risk. There's no like bank call or bank debt collector is wondering where their pandemic payment missing is. You know what I mean? So
that's funny. So Rob, who's the most famous golfer you've played against?
Oh, probably Ricky Fowler. He's really famous. Everybody loves him.
Cool.
The chicks especially do.
He was he was golf partners with Patrick Reed. That's another famous guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Patrick Reed was on our team. He won the Masters a couple years back. So
very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, guys, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time and sharing your story with us and stuff. I know this is gonna inspire people. Thanks for sharing your story, and look forward to seeing what you guys accomplish going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Josiah, and give me a shout if you ever get to Charleston, for sure.
Absolutely, will do.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please connect with me on Instagram at Daily Real Estate Investor or via email at josiahsmelser@gmail.com. My new book titled Dream It and Build It, How to Crush Your Real Estate Investing Goals is out. You can get it either in digital or physical format on Amazon. Once you've read the book, please leave me a review. Tune in next time for another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor as we both join in our financial